Now I'm going to be sharing about Jacob and Penuel. And I want to share that Penuel is the face place. And that was the place that Jacob received his transformation. He got his breakthrough in the face place. I want to give a little recap of Jacob's journey before I get to the full meat of the message. In Genesis 27, 35 through 36, and you may want to write these verses down and look them up later, because I'm going to take you through a journey. And in this journey, he said he had stolen his birthright and the blessing from his twin brother Esau. And he had to go live with his uncle Laban because Esau hated him, it says, and wanted to kill him. Isaac says, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob, which means deceiver, manipulator, liar? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now he's taken away my blessing. So then he leaves, and on the way, he meets God on the way, and God promises to protect him and bless him. But in Genesis 31, 1 through 3, the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your people, and I will be with you. Because how long was Jacob with Laban? 20 years. He had to work 7 years for Leah, which was a big surprise, 7 years for Rachel, and another 6 years for all the flocks that he got. He received a dream, and in that dream, the Lord showed him how to prosper. But also in that dream, in Genesis 31:13, the Lord says to him, I am the God of Bethel. And what is Bethel? Open heaven, the gateway to heaven. Remember from Genesis 28, God met with him on his way as he's fleeing his brother and shares with him a blessing and a word about his life. And he says, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me, now arise. In other words, get up and get going. Leave this land and return to the land of your birth. So now he has to face a 400-mile journey, a 3 to 4 weeks journey. Just to recap, so he's going ahead forward. He sends a message out to Esau saying, hey, I'm coming. Your servant's coming. Your servant Jacob's coming. And now Esau in Genesis 32:11 is coming with 400 men. Jacob says, oh Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid that he's going to come attack me along with my wives and children. And in the Young Living Translation, he says, deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am fearing him. So Jacob is in full-blown fear. Immediately, the next verse, hear what Jacob says. In Genesis 32:12, he reminds God of his promise to him. And he says, but you have said. And when we're facing a trial or a situation, we need to put God in remembrance of his word and say, but God, you said. If it's cancer, God, you said with long life, you'll satisfy me. Whatever it is, God, you said that you would prosper me. So he said, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper, make your descendants as the sands of the sea, which cannot be counted. In other words, it is not my day to die. It is not my time to die, God. You said I would have so many descendants as the sands of the sea. It is not my time to die. He takes his family and his wives and they cross over the ford of Jabbok. So what does Jabbok mean? In Hebrew, it means emptying. Because he's about to have an emptying experience with God because he was carrying some emotional baggage. He was carrying some spiritual baggage that needed to be dropped before he could cross that 400 miles of desert and go in and receive his inheritance and into the promised land. In Genesis 32, 3 through 5, I had mentioned that Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau. He commanded them saying, "This is what you say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been living temporarily with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen, docks, male servants. I've sent you this message to my lord that I may find grace and kindness in your sight." So he's preparing the way. But Esau sent 400 men out to meet him, and he doesn't know what's going to happen in this encounter. And then he sent gifts in front of him. He said to himself, "I'll try to appease him with this gift to go ahead of me. Then afterwards, perhaps when I see him, he will accept and forgive me." So he's wrestling. He's meeting his past face to face. Well, he needs to meet his past because just like Benny Hinn, he went through a period of time with his father that was very verbally degrading to Benny Hinn because he stuttered. He was afraid of his father. And so he had a time, he said, where the Lord brought those wounds up in front of him because that had to be addressed before he could go into the fullness of his calling and destiny. And so this is what's happening. God is positioning him. So Jacob sends his family ahead. And then now he's alone with God. So in other words, Jacob gets into the secret place. And that secret place is so rich that you don't want to come out. Once you get in, you don't want to come out. Jacob in Genesis 32, 24, 25, he was left alone and a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, you're not going to fully understand Genesis 32 unless you turn your Bible to Hosea 12, 4. And actually, it's like 3 through 6. That is a key to understanding Penuel. That's a key to understanding Genesis 32. And it says in Hosea 12, 4, he wrestled with the angel, but actually another place it says the Lord, and prevailed. He wept in repentance and sought his favor. So Jacob was repenting before the Lord and then seeking his favor. What do business people need, for example, besides wisdom? You need favor. And at this moment, he needed favor. And so what was he repenting of? He was repenting for being a deceiver, a manipulator, a liar, fear of man, because he followed his mother's advice instead of God. He was a man pleaser. He was afraid of his brother. He was self-reliant. He was trying to work the blessing out with his own abilities. And he had some good abilities. He didn't trust God. He wasn't fearing God. In the New Living Translation, it says, he wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. And then in the Young Living Translation, it says, he overcometh by weeping and making supplication to the Lord. Whenever that there is supplication going on, this doesn't mean like a little pansy prayer. This means you're on your face and you are like pouring your heart out to God, just your total self out to him. And you are crying out to God for a move, for his favor, for his help. He was in that divine moment where he had to have a breakthrough, or he and his family could possibly die. And so, Hosea 12:3 now gives a key to what Jacob was dealing with. Because this is amazing verse. It says, in their mother's womb, he took his brother by the heel. And in his maturity, he contended with God. What do we have on Tuesdays? Contending. What is the contending? It's a prevailing prayer. It's putting God in remembrance of his word and coming into agreement with his word. Because Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says that the secrets of God are given to each one of them. It says, first, that you hear the word. Matthew 13 says, you understand the word. Then in Mark, I believe it says that you receive the word. And finally, the last one is that you keep the word in Luke. But if you don't understand the word, how can you receive it in? The first part of that verse, in his mother's womb, he took his brother by the heel. So what is Jacob dealing with? He's dealing with a generational curse. He's dealing with iniquity passed down. Who in his family lied? How about Abraham? About Sarah? Because he was afraid. She was his half-sister from a different mother. And he said, tell them you're my sister so Pharaoh won't kill me. Tell them you're my sister so Abimelech will not kill me because you're so beautiful. And then the same with Isaac. So you're seeing a generational curse, just like David says in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. In the second part, it says he contended with God. So what is he contending with God for? He contends with God for the blessing. For Genesis 32:26, going back to Genesis 32, he said, let me go for the day breaks. Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Because he knew that he was under a level of a curse. To see why, see the next verse in Genesis 32:27. So what does God say to him? What does God say to him? He said to him, what is your name? Say this after me. What is your name? What is your name? And he says, Jacob, deceiver. Have you ever thought why Jacob was a deceiver? Well, what did his mother and father name him when he was born? They called him Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, manipulator, liar. So all through his life, he is hearing people say, Jacob, liar, deceiver, manipulator. And every time that happens, I'm going to use Pastor Chuck as my prop, as a Jacob. Every time he's seeing those labels be placed on him. Just imagine on his back, he's wearing the labels. Jacob is being burdened down by seemingly unseen dark forces because of the name being repeated over and over him. Liar, deceiver, manipulator, all these labels. Just imagine all these labels all over him. So what did Esau said? Esau said to Isaac, he's living up to his name. Well, duh, of course. There are word curses spoken over him. Then in the front of him, on his heart. Okay, so in the front, it is the iniquities. He's dealing with generational curses that were passed down through the bloodline. So that's representing being over his heart. The back is representing the spoken curses because his parents cursed him at birth. So I wanted you to see a visual of that. Now, supplanter means someone who seizes, circumvents, usurps, one who wrongfully or illegally seizes the place of another to deceive or defraud. So who else in the Bible got cursed by their parents? Well, one was Benjamin. It started that way because Rachel was dying and said, name him Ben-Oi. I might not be saying that right. Son of my pain. But his father caught it. Jacob caught it. He caught it because he knew what he went through. Do you see it? He said, no, he is Benjamin, son of my right hand. So Jabez was named. Read this out to you. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, but his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. So every time someone said Jabez, you're a pain. I feel so bad. Pain, 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 pain. The people in those days understood the power that was in a name, because your name would identify your identity. It would help mold and form you into who you would become. And that's why the Lord gives us a new name. As overcomers in the book of Revelation, we'll all be receiving new names. But so Jacob was cursed. Oh, going on with Jabez. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Just like Jacob, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. He might have even heard the story of Jacob having his name changed to Israel, because you know that they had to memorize the first 5 books of the Torah before that they had their bar mitzvah before 13 years old. So he said, oh, the God of Israel, which would be the God of Jacob, saying that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him the request. Jacob was cursed with 2 things that I had shared. One was hearing his name over and over, word curses, and then secondly, a generational curse. So now you know why. In the womb, he grabbed the heel of his brother. These curses are like unseen dark forces that seem to move you almost unconsciously into ungodly patterns of behavior and sin. So what I'm sharing is the why behind the what. And as I start, you know, finishing up the teaching, I want you just to be thinking, what generational curses are in my family? What word curses have been spoken over me? What names have people called me? There's a childhood song that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, I just want to tell you today, that is a lie. Names do hurt you. They can hurt you. What does God do to reverse the curse off of Jacob? Genesis 32:28. He said, the Lord, your name will no longer be called Jacob, deceiver, but Israel, God prevails, prince. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. In other words, he is overcome. Because God is such a good father. He gives good gifts when we ask for them. So start asking. If you're not asking, start asking. Secondly, what was the second thing? That was the first thing. He gave him a new name. So that is like us becoming new creatures in Christ Jesus. He gives us a new name. So secondly, what does he do? In verse 29, then Jacob asked him, he said, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, what is it that you would seek, ask about my name? He's saying, that's not important right now. And he said, and he blessed him. The power of a blessing is like an invisible force that propels you into excellence. It's an invisible force that propels you into favor and into blessings. And it says, I believe it's Genesis 3:29, that if you are the seed of Christ, then you are also sons and daughters of Abraham. The same blessing given to Abraham is given to us, and even greater, because we are now in a new dispensation of grace. Jesus has come. We are sons. We are daughters. What did God do to help promote the Israelites when they left Egypt from slaves to warriors and then to inheritors? What did God do? Numbers 6:24. He told Moses, tell Aaron and their sons, the priest, that they are to, this is the way you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them. Say to them. Say this after me. Say to them. How do curses come? Many times they're spoken. How do blessings come? They have to be spoken out of our mouth. That's why we have the contending. That's why Pastor LaRue is coming into agreement, Pastor Anna, Pastor Chuck, with the word of God. And they are speaking that out. And when they say words like, you are royalty, you are a joint heir, those words just come in, because when we worship, we open ourselves up in the spirit and they just come flooding in my being. And it's like my soul and my spirit is thirsting to hear words like that. Wow. You're innocent. You're righteous. The Lord, he says in Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I just want to remind you, the power is in when the Lord blesses you. Not just say, bless you. No, it's the Lord bless you with this or that or whatever. Always say, the Lord bless you. That's the blessing we want. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. In other words, protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. It's not going to shine upon you unless you're close to the Lord. You have to get into his face place in order to experience this level of blessings. And then he says, and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But it's not just peace. The word is shalom. And that word shalom is for the sons and daughters to eat today. That word shalom means wholeness. The Hebrew root of shalom is wholeness. It means that you are made perfectly complete on the inside. Body, soul, and spirit. That's the season we are in. God wants us perfect and whole. That's why the Lord first opened up Penuel to Pastor LaRue, because we need wholeness. And that wholeness is only going to come from the face place, from getting in the face space with God, because then you'll be in his presence. And in this presence, he will illuminate those things that have been holding you back from your destiny. When we get a name change and a blessing, the moment we get a name change, we get a blessing. Listen to this about the curses. God is so amazing. I love this verse. I love this verse. It's Deuteronomy 23:5. Please write this verse down and look this up. You want this verse. And it says, nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Balaam was sent to curse the Israelites. But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing. And why? Because your God loves you. Who turned the curse into the blessing? The Lord Jesus. What does it say in Galatians 3:13? Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He purchased our redemption from all curses. Sickness is a curse. Poverty and lack is a curse. Depression is a curse. He says, by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. But really, it was a cross. It was wood that was separated from the tree of life. It was separated. It was no longer connected to an actual tree that would support life. He was always connected to the life. But at that moment when he hung on the cross, he hung on wood that was separated from the life source, from his Father. And he took the curses of all humanity upon his body. And it says in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us and Gentiles, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Word curses need to be broken, and we need to start calling ourselves by our new name. In Romans 4:17, it says, about Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations, in whom, in the presence of him who he believed, God gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they did. Now I want to tell you what happened with Abraham at age 99. He gets a visitation from the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm giving you a son, and I'm, which is a blessing, and I'm giving you a new name. And within 3 months, Sarah conceived, because within 1 year, his promise manifested. So a name change is a game change. That was the game changer for him. That was the last thing that was able to propel him into faith and into believing when he heard his new name over and over for 3 months. Abraham, father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. It's like the waters burst forth. The living waters burst forth. And he got his blessing. Now, Penuel, which means face of God, the root of Penuel is Pana. The root means to turn. So it means an intentional turnaround. In other words, it means a complete turnaround. And Panim means be in the presence of the face. So whenever you see face, you can interchange the presence of God. Because then when you're in his face, you're in position to be close enough to God to be able to receive the life force of generational blessings and inheritances from the very presence of the Almighty One. You're close enough to receive.